The impact of Europe's energy crisis is deepening. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. One of Europe's leading makers of fertilizer and chemicals is Grupa Azoty, based in Poland. Today, it suspended more of its production due to skyrocketing natural gas prices. Since mid-June, the price of Europe's natural gas benchmark has surged more than 200%, and Russia has continued to restrict gas flows to the continent. The company called the price rises extraordinary and unprecedented. Earlier this month, it stopped making melamine, a kind of plastic used in reusable cups and utensils, and it's now added other plastics to the list and slashed ammonia output to 10% of total capacity. From Warsaw, the BBC's Adam Easton explains what kind of impact this will have across the European continent.
It's serious, obviously, because it's the largest in Poland. It's the second largest manufacturer of agricultural fertilizers and a particular chemical in the European Union. And to say that it's suspending production totally of those fertilizers and up to 90% cut of other production of ammonia, for example, is closing down the business. At the moment, the indication is that this will be until at least the end of the month or perhaps the first week in September. But this is all dependent on the extremely high natural gas prices, the base product which the company uses to produce these fertilizers and chemicals.
Certainly, we've seen the reaction from investors this morning. Shares of the company's stock were down as much as 10% at one point. But give us a sense of the scale of this impact across Europe, because if this is one of the largest producers of fertilizer for the continent, have we heard what kind of impact that might have on various countries and potentially consumers eventually?
The agriculture minister of Poland has already been on the radio this morning. He acknowledged that this might be a concern for farmers, but he said that there's over 100,000 metric tons of fertilizers in the stockpiles which can be used. And he said that there shouldn't be any problem in actually trying to buy fertilizers for farmers for the coming autumn season. If it's a matter of a week or something, then it probably will be manageable. But if it continued the suspension of production, this is going to have very significant consequences.
The BBC's Adam Easton for us. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
As we check the numbers now, the Europe today hit a fresh 20-year low as we see more impact of energy price rises. Fresh data today also showed business activity across the 19-country eurozone contracted in August for the second straight month. Germany's central bank said recession is now increasingly likely as it expects inflation to continue rising due to the nation's reliance on Russian gas. Meanwhile, Greece's government said today it will double subsidies for power bills next month to limit the impact of rising prices there. As worries continue about Europe's energy supplies, Scotland's largest offshore wind farm is now generating electricity. The Seagreen project comes at a cost of $3.5 billion, but will eventually generate enough power for 1 million homes. The BBC's James Cook has more on that story.
Seagreen is a vast and expensive project, and the tip of each turbine blade soars above the North Sea. The developers, SSE Renewables and Total Energies, boast that this is the deepest wind farm to be fixed to the seabed in the world. They say it's supporting 3,000 jobs during the construction phase, which is due to end next year, and 700 permanent posts. Energy companies are under pressure for making huge profits while many families and firms struggle to pay their bills. But SSE insists that in the long run, this wind farm and other low-carbon projects will drive down the cost of energy by reducing the UK's reliance on expensive imported gas.
That's the BBC's James Cook reporting there. Japan might be famous for its high-tech industry, which develops some of the latest and greatest gadgets, but it also has the oldest population in the world, and getting them to join the technological revolution can sometimes be a challenge. The BBC's Mariko Oi, though, discovered how technology is helping provide crucial services to older consumers in rural Japan.
Dear passengers, we are now making our final approach.
I've come to Tokushima. It's a bit of a backwater and hasn't got a reputation of being a thriving area. But it's been trying to reinvent itself as a place for startups. And in recent years, a local company has hit the jackpot by taking its new venture across the country.
In one of the remotest areas of the country comes this music.
Tokushimaru, named after this area, is a supermarket on wheels. Almost all of its customers are aged over 80. Located on the southern island of Shikoku, Tokushima is known for lots of greenery and farming. But as young people leave for big cities, it's been suffering from both an aging and shrinking population for over half a century. And people here have been left behind as everything got digitalized. That's Mrs. Sasaki telling me how she has no clue how to use a smartphone. She's 83, but she then jokes she's actually 38. That's me joking with her that I haven't aged since I turned 21 either. There are four ladies here, and together they wait for a Tokushimaru truck every week. They live in a town called Kamiyama, which has a population of less than 5,000. Just like them, over half of the residents here are elderly.
He remembers what I want to buy every week. If my grandkids are coming on Sunday, I request something special. It's nice to be able to chat with friends after my shopping.
She's talking about the driver for this area, 38-year-old Junichi Kishimoto. Some of his customers live alone after their partners have passed away, so it's also a nice weekly bit of human interaction. For Junichi, joining the company was more about helping the elderly rather than picking up a wage.
I used to work at the nursing home, and I realized some residents came to live there because they were worried about their everyday food. So I wondered how I could help. That's when I found this company.
The business idea came to the company's founder, Tatsuya Sumitomo, because of his own parents in their 80s who were struggling with their daily groceries. He started it 10 years ago with only two trucks locally. Today, there are more than 1,000 trucks on the road across the country, with an annual sales of 20 billion yen. That's roughly $150 million. In a country which has the world's oldest population, they are a lucrative and a large market. For Marketplace, I'm the BBC's Marie Koi in Tokushima, Japan.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.